Okay, recording in 5, 4.
What's up, peoples? Back again. This time we're going beyond the court. You know, it's me, Sugumani. I got my boy GT, aka Khalaletan Kwate, Kharangua's finest.
That's good.
And we've got a special guest today, Mr. Mfundo Mkize. Make some noise for the man himself.
Do, 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 do. So yeah,
what's
man,
up, man?
I think we thought that with the NBA season kind of like being, you know, put on hold for now and everything else that's happening, that we should take Beyond the Arc, Beyond the Court, and kind of like turn it into like a little podcast situation and kind of have different people come over to us and chat to us about their love for basketball and the NBA. And unfortunately, our first guest is Mfundo Mkize. What's going on, Mfundo?
I'm good, man. How you doing, guys? Thanks for inviting
easy,
me.
Easy, dog. So, Sugu and I always do a toast to kick off every episode. So, I hope you guys have your glasses ready. Cheers, the first episode of Beyond the Court.
Cheers, gentlemen.
This is kind of showing off in lockdown. I'm just saying.
We're just 50 with our booze. That's the story. How's lockdown been treating you guys?
Punda, go first, man.
Yeah, man. Actually, I'm the most productive I've ever been in lockdown. I really don't like people around me, so it's working out.
It's working out.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a loner actually, and so I've been productive. I've been doing things. I've been actually talking to people, including my parents, which is which is interesting. So yeah,
that's
man,
dope.
It's been great. It's been great, actually. I like lockdown, man. I'm sorry for the rest of South Africa. I have booze, so I'm happy.
And so, Gumani, how's lockdown been treating you?
Hey, man, it's been cool. Like, I'm also like a bit of a hermit, so that's been dope. I think the only shit thing is the whole no alcohol. Like, I'm on my last bottle, I think, pretty much.
Ooh.
But otherwise,
how many bottles did you have?
Down it.
Yo, man, I spent a lot. I won't lie. I've spent like, let me not go into the details, but like,
tell us, dog.
It's a young 5 G's, man.
Wow.
Oh.
Jesus.
And that's before lockdown.
Yeah.
That's like normal prices before the underground market.
Yeah, normal prices.
You're a smarter man than I am, bro.
Nah, dude, I was like, they're not going to shut us down. So, yeah.
So, but also, Mfundo, this is 5 grand worth of alcohol in the space of like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And this homie's down to his last bottle. So it's either Sugu was getting some very fancy bottles or he got
It was a bit fancy. I got some rum, got some vodka, got some cognac, and then I got a few cases of beer as well. Yeah.
And it's gone.
You wanted to take Corona, didn't you?
I looked for Corona. By the time I got to the bottle, it was actually sold out. Man. Like that's the irony.
Also, like, did you guys hear the level in the difference between your English? So Mfundo was like, he's a loner, and you're like, you're a hermit. Mfundo, you need to up your game, homie.
You know, it's funny, man. During lockdown, I thought I was going to be reading so much, but like, I've just been staring at this computer and just typing.
I want to know that PlayStation sale got me. That there's a PlayStation sale. Yeah. You can download games for free off of EA. I've been going in, I won't lie.
Yeah. I've only been playing, like, I've tried Formula One. Like, we're waiting for the new game to come out because the current one is, I'm not going to pay for the current one and then the new one comes out.
Yeah.
Still been playing, you know, NBA 2K, FIFA as always. I want to get into Fortnite, though, and maybe even,
we need a game of that 2K, bro.
I know, I played your brother the other day and I kicked his ass.
Yeah, disclaimer, GT beat me the last time we played. But I beat him regularly on FIFA. Let's not lie. I beat you
regularly. It's like 3-5. Okay. It's like 3.5. Like
33.3% made for you.
Yeah, no, GTY is me.
That's why Sugu doesn't play FIFA anymore. He knows. He knows.
Yeah, no. I moved on to Madden.
Yeah, that's what cognac does to you.
it actually slows you down. Everything up. Maris, and then how have you homies been coping without? How have you been coping without the NBA? Sugu, you can tell us first how life has been. Have you been watching old games online?
Not even, man. I'll be honest. I've been, cool. Like, I check out the odd meme here and there on Twitter. And then there's a certain show that came out during the week that I've been watching. We'll get into that later. But, yeah, that's been helping
out. Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah. I mean, I've just been playing NBA 2K. That's been my NBA fix. Because, like, I tried watching that 2K tournament that with the players. It was weird, man. Watching other people play a game is just strange. Yeah.
Yeah,
very strange.
Also, I just want to say, like, Patrick Beverley is crazy in real life as well, like, not just on the court. I saw him when he was playing, like, I think it was Jason Tatum or DeAndre Ayton or something, but he was going crazy. Like, it was like watching Patrick Beverley actually playing on the basketball court.
Yeah, like, he was pouncing and about, cat and everything.
Everything, dog. That homie's crazy. And then, Mkize, how's lockdown been for you without the NBA?
Can I ask you a question before we get into that? With the 2K, Patrick Beverley or Draymond Green, who do you guys prefer?
Patrick Beverley.
In terms of what? In terms of the players playing the game?
Just personality and play.
Oof. I'm gonna go Draymond Green.
Cool. I hate you.
what's new? What's new? this is normal life anyway.
I thought as much. Suku, you my guy. I've been watching, like, it's crazy, like, not having sports. So what I do is just, like, watch old highlights on YouTube. And then carry on with life. And then, COVID 19 news sucks ass, bro. Let me not lie to you.
Yeah.
It really does make you depressed. So it has helped to, like, watch old games, watch old players, watch stuff like that. But, like, to be honest, it's still not the same thing.
Yeah.
Because you kind of like off. Yeah, you can go Six.
Yeah, because you kind of know the ending.
So yeah. It's like watching.
Exactly. I mean. Look, I think also you just have to be selective with the games that you watch, right? Like, I mean, how many times have each of us watched Avengers Endgame, and we know how Endgame? You know what I mean? We probably know the dialogue word for word.
That's really the funny thing, because like I watched a whole documentary about Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, like, and you know, like, it's stuff like that that I really don't care about, to be honest. But
I love how honest you are.
But at the end of the day, it's like, now you're catching up on actually what you should have done in the first place. So it works out somehow.
Yeah. I mean, there's some games that I've missed that I have a chance to watch again. Like, I mean, I didn't watch the tribute game there was a whole tribute before the Lakers played a game. I can't remember who the opponents were, where they did like a little tribute and like a little ceremony for Kobe, and LeBron did like a little speech. Mm. So I haven't watched that.
Oh, yeah.
Kobe.
Hey, man.
Kobe.
Mamba forever.
And then even though I know who won the All-Star game, I haven't seen the All-Star game, so I still need to watch that as well. So I've got a few games that I can watch, and luckily my NBA league pass is like paid up for the whole year, so I might as well use it, you know, until it expires.
Dope. That's dope.
Yeah. And then also, like, I think we've been lucky enough that Michael Jordan finally said yes to Netflix and ESPN releasing the documentary that they shot on him and the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, and I think the timing was so perfect for them, yeah. Because literally, like, every sports fan is watching that. Like, people that don't even watch basketball are like, ah, sports.
Yeah, people that who aren't even basketball fans are, like, going on about how amazing that series is, which is, like, really amazing. I'm crazy about this two episodes per week thing, but I suppose it is what it is.
That's how you drive the interest. Because otherwise, if everyone watches in one weekend, then, like, you know, like, even working on, like, this thing happened, what, 20 plus years ago. And then people watch it one weekend. It's like,
it's a whole time invested. Have you watched the episodes yet of The Lost Art?
Yeah, I hadn't watched it until you told me about this podcast. And then I went and watched it.
I inspired you.
You inspired me. Damn it. To be honest, I really love the filmmaking of the first two episodes that I have access to. As a filmmaker, I really enjoyed those two episodes. Yeah, and it gets you a little deeper into the mentality. And I totally agree with you, Sugo, man. I'm gonna wait because what am I gonna do else? You know, I'm in lockdown, so I'm gonna wait.
Yeah.
Well, you're level four now, so. It's not as bad as it was before.
It's level city shit, man.
Gang signs.
So one of the interesting things, right, about this whole about the documentary, is I think for me one of the most interesting parts was, I think it was in episode one, when there was that whole beef going on between Michael Jordan and Jerry Krause. And then Jerry Krause made that famous comment where he said, you know, players don't win championship, organizations do. Or something around that line, you know? And I think he left out one word, which doesn't really change the premise, but I think I know what he meant, but I also understand where Michael Jordan comes from. I wanted to kind of get your guys' thinking on what you think about, you know, what do you guys think it takes to actually build a championship-winning team? Suku, you always on the show, so you need to chore. I'm going to let Mpundo go first since he's our esteemed guest for today's episode.
Esteemed. Yo.
English.
I honestly think that, like, winning should be number one for any sports team. Like, what should get you going is how you're winning and who is making you win. And so for me, I thought that was a really foolish move. And that happens in a lot of sports teams. It's not just basketball, you know. Sometimes owners, managers, coaches, people believe that they can steer the team without the actual engine. And it's crazy to me that you would forsake a person who got you a three-peat, left, came back, got you two-peat, and then next thing you're like, hey, we can rework this thing without the engine. Like, everybody knew what the hell was going on, man. The teammates knew what was going on. The supporters knew what was going on. The front office knew what was going on. And then it's just this one human being who thinks that he can play God. And I honestly don't think that works in any sports. And it's been repeated time after time.
Yeah.
So what do you think it takes to build a championship team? So if you were like an owner of, like, say the what team is struggling at the moment? The 76ers. No, I'm joking. If you are the coach of a team,
you're not joking.
If you are the owner, I'm joking.
No, you're not.
The owner of a team. So how would you go from being like a team? So you have all the tools at your disposal, right? So how would you assemble a championship winning team?
Honestly, I think these are two different questions. So the first question is, okay. Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. one of the best athletes ever, who's scoring all your points, who's inspiring the team, who is the engine of your franchise, right? And then there, then there's a different question, which is how do you actually build that team? And what do you do when it comes to that kind of you know, building? And honestly, like, it's hit and miss, bro. Like, I honestly do not blame any franchise who tries to draft the next Michael Jordan, or tries to build a team around someone and then they become a flop, you know. But at the end of the day, I think those are two very different questions, and it's unfortunate. I'm not Phil Jackson at all or Pat Riley. But I really do think that it takes luck, first and foremost. You know, after watching that first episode, it was the second episode where Michael fractured his foot, or he broke his bone in a foot, whatever it was.
And
obviously that could have tanked everything, you know, that and that was very early on in his career, you know, before the three-peat and the second three-peat. And so I honestly don't want to sit here and act like an expert, you know.
Like a know-it-all, but obviously.
I think the first question, to answer the first question, it's very stupid to think that you can rip out the engine of your car and drive on without your superstar, your franchise player, the best player in the world at that point, the person who's taken you to the finals numerous times. But the second part of it, I don't know. I mean, Jordan could have also been a flop, you know, after college.
100%. 100%. Sugu, same questions apply to you. So, you know, would you have disassembled that Bulls team? And then what do you think it takes to put together like a crazy, amazing championship winning team?
I think kind of for me to answer the question is, the crazy thing about Michael Jordan is that he didn't go number one in the draft. He went number three. So Elijah Wan went to Houston and he had a successful career. And then Sam Bowie went to Portland because Portland already had Clyde Drexler. And then Sam Bowie didn't do anything. And then obviously the Bulls got Jordan. So for me, what's interesting is, like, and this is where I think we've got to give this Kraus guy, like, well, I mean, that was pre-Kraus, but I think just this is where you give the Bulls front office some credit in the fact that they obviously had the vision to go for this guy. And then it kind of speaks to the whole thing of, like, building a team. Is Portland passed on him because they already had Drexler. So they felt Jordan was similar. And then the Bulls went for Jordan because obviously he was probably like the biggest prospect. So, like, I think the first thing you've got to know what your team needs. So that's why they went for Jordan and why the Rockets went for Elijah Wan. They were able to get that success. So I think for them to get Jordan, and then as he says as we saw in the docu, is that he totally transformed that team from like year one. And then post that, we saw that Kraus got involved. And he actually made some good moves to actually help build that team, like, initially. And I mean, like, he traded Oakley for, who was it, Horace Grant. And then he made the moves. He, like, brought in Scottie Pippen. So, like, he made the right moves initially. So I think, like as far as building a team, he kind of made the right moves. But I think the biggest thing when it comes to building a team is leave the egos on the court. Don't bring them into the office. Because I think, and another example of that is Dan Gilbert at Cleveland. Is we saw LeBron, LeBron eventually won. If you look at the way Cleveland was for the first 9 years of LeBron's career, they couldn't build a team around him. And that goes to the ownership and the front office. They literally couldn't do it. So he went to Miami, where you've got Pat Riley and Mike Spoelstra, people who are basketball guys who know how to do it. They saw the vision. They built the team. Because you could have easily done the Miami thing in Cleveland, but they did it in Miami because Miami had all the parts to get it done. So that kind of speaks to how that sort of team had the vision. And we look even since LeBron and them have left, they've still managed to like build a team and find success. So that's obviously down to Pat Riley. So that's that guy there. So I think that speaks to that. And then going back to it again, when LeBron went back, he almost built that team in spite of Dan Gilbert. Like, that's how he basically built that team, was like in spite of Dan Gilbert. So I think like it's almost twofold. The way to answer your question is that I think the front office still plays a role, because you look at what Jerry West has done for the LA Clippers and what Rob Pelinka's managed to do with the Lakers this season. So I think like
David Griffin with the Pelicans, fam.
Exactly, David Griffin with the, and also you signed with the Raptors.
Masai Ujiri.
I mean, look at what he did with the Raptors. Their depth is insane. So I think it's like twofold. Yeah. Like, first, you've got to have someone that knows how to find the talent. And then obviously, you've just got to let them. And then you've got to just let the guys express themselves on the court. So I think it's like, it basically starts with the front office, but it ends on the court.
But it's a bit of a jigsaw puzzle, you know, because you really don't know. I really, as a fan, right? Yeah. You go in there and you're like, what the hell? You passed up on this player and you didn't get this player. But they only developed because they were at that particular point in their career. And if they were in this team, it could have been a completely different thing. So I think, obviously, there's people who, as you've mentioned, Jerry West, Pat Riley, who are able to see certain talent, you know? But at the end of the day, it's like, it's also how people gel together, how the organization works, how people feel in that particular city, which is also very important, you know? Like,
oh yeah, especially in American sport.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's very, very important. So I think for me, you could even add like, you know, even though like, the chemistry within the team hasn't gone that well, you could add someone like Elton Brand into the conversation for the 76ers. So my thing is, I think from what we saw, one thing we which is quite nice about this documentary is that, you know, it's making Jordan's legend even bigger than it is now. But at the same time, it's opening a lot of people's eyes to actually how dope Scottie Pippen was as like a player. And it's always been a thing in the NBA that you can't.
Dude, I've been saying this for years. Sorry.
Scottie's been a man.
I've been saying it for years, dog.
Scottie Pippen, son.
Scottie Pippen, son.
So that's the thing, is like, you know, you've got Jordan, who basically, like Suku said, you know, transformed the Bulls. But then also you needed to bring in the right coach. And like Mfunda said, you don't know if Phil Jackson would have been the right coach. You don't know how the chemistry between Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan would have been. You know, how bringing in players like, I know like Tony Kukoc and Steve Kerr came in after Jordan had left for the first time. So it's crazy, like, you know, how do you find that chemistry? Because even the Warriors, like, to get to where they are, they've also had like some, like, you know, like Devin Green was drafted in the second round or something like that. Yeah. And now he's come up to be one of the best players in the league. So, dude, also, I know exactly what you were saying.
Sorry, man. Also, think of the year when KD was drafted. There was Greg Oden, and Greg Oden looked like he'd be a beast, but his knees couldn't take it. You know what I mean? Like the Blazers could have had.
There've been a lot of flops along the year, right? You know, like, exactly, there's no guarantee that someone's going to be a superstar. Yeah.
So you
just
never know.
Yeah.
Again, please.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. For in this beef with Draymond Green. But here's my thing, right? Is you know, I suppose the. I think Jerry Krause was right to want to rebuild the team. I think it's just the way that he went about it that was wrong, you know, because Dennis Rodman was like 38 or 30, like he was like, you know, in his late 30s. Scottie Pippen was turning 34 that year they won the sixth championship. Michael Jordan was turning 36. So I can see why he wanted to kind of like start changing the team. But to change the whole team and not like not make it a gradual transition and not have some of the players there and not give them like the opportunity to leave on their own accord, I think that's where he messed up with that team. And that's where the egos, like you guys were saying, kind of took over.
Dude, like, what's crazy is, how do you tell Phil Jackson to fuck off?
Dude. Yo, that story about him inviting the understudy to his wedding and not Phil Jackson. I was like, dude, what is that? Who does that, dog?
I mean, look, obviously, we've got the benefit of, like, hindsight, but still, he brought you guys 6 championships. I mean, Eric Spoelstra has been at the Heat for how long? And he had, like, 2 championships, but he's still there. It's like, dude.
He's still there, and he's still doing a good job, actually.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because there's a lot of, like, franchises which have, like, owners or general managers or managers that are very egotistical and very much about their own vision. Whereas I think if you're in a team sport, you need to be a team. You need to incorporate everybody's ideas into it, you know? Look at the Knicks. Fuck.
I was about to say, the Knicks, Dolan. Like, you've got the number one, you've got the most valuable sports team in the NBA, but you're flopping, bro. It's the biggest market in the... Anyway, yeah. Like, the Knicks...
And slowly losing credit as well. Like, the slowly losing credit as well. Like, the allure of playing in Madison Square Garden. It started
now it's Barclays.
You know,
it's Barclays.
Credibility. Yeah, now Barclays has become the place now, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Knicks. And what I quite like at the moment is, you know, there's a lot of teams are starting to get it more right. I mean, like we all said, like, it needs a certain bit of luck. I mean, for instance, Zion Williamson couldn't have ended up at the Knicks if the draft had gone their way, but somehow the Knicks keep taking L's.
That's karma, though.
So I was about to say, like, you create your own energy as well. And I mean, I think, like you were saying, Suku, there's a point about, you know, LeBron James going to the Heat and joining Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. Like, you're going into a culture that knows how to win already and that's built for winning. So it already helps you get to that next level. And I sort of think that, you know, as a player, no matter how good you are as an individual player, you need a team to help you get to the finals and to win the championship. But over and above that, you need another all-star player. Like, you can't do it on your own.
But also think about the transition from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr for the Warriors. Almost the exact same team.
Yeah.
Different coach, next level.
Can I ask you a question? I mean,
yeah, that's true.
With that being said, you need another all-star. Who was the all-star last year? The other all-star.
For who? For Toronto. Kawhi.
Of course, the champions.
I think well, Toronto.
I think with me, the Toronto thing was, so firstly, they played the Bucks, and the Bucks only had one superstar as well. They had Giannis, obviously. And I think as a defensive unit, you know, the Raptors knew how to lock it down better than the Bucks in the playoffs. And then Kawhi just stepped up as well. And then in the semis, I think it was, of the conference finals, they went up against the 76ers, right? So Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid haven't become fully fledged all-stars. Like, they're still learning their craft, but they're not at that level yet. So you can say, like...
You're not answering the question, like, man. You're being very long-winded.
I'm getting there.
Who's the other all-star?
I'm getting there. Who was the other all-star in the Warriors team in the finals?
No. Don't answer the ask.
So that's my thing. Is there was one team all-stars in the finals. Like, the Raptors were lucky enough to play teams that basically had one all-star or two up-and-coming all-stars. Because think about it.
Do you know what I think?
KD was injured. Clay was injured. So who else? It was just Steph, dog. It was just Steph.
No, man, but I think for the Toronto Raptors, the All-Stars were their depth. Like, they just kept throwing bodies at you. Like, I mean, cool. There's, like, you've got to deal with Kawhi. And then you've still got to deal with Kyle Lowry. And then there's Fred VanVleet. And then there's Siakam.
Yeah,
and then there's Marc Gasol.
At the same time,
they could just keep throwing bodies at you. Nobody
knew that Siakam, but Van Vliet, all these guys were actually going to step up like that. Nobody knew that.
No one knew, but they became the second All-Stars.
What I'm asking, answer the ask.
Yeah.
Who was the other All-Star in the Raptors?
Kyle Lowry.
Okay, there was no there. basically different guys, people stepped up at different times. It wasn't Kyle Lowry. Yeah, exactly. Pascal, if we're honest.
He got 0 points Pascal. In a game. Kyle Lowry in the playoffs. Dogs.
It was Siakam, man.
But here's my point, right? Here are the teams, the prominent teams that the Raptors played on the way to the championship, right? Who are the All-Stars in the Bucks team?
Middleton and Giannis. He was an All-Star Middleton last year.
Let me make my point. Middleton. Middleton is an All-Star by name. Middleton is an All-Star by name, but he hasn't proven that he's on that level as everyone else. Like, every time the Bucks have played other prominent teams, like, you saw how Giannis basically had to take on AD and LeBron alone when they played the Lakers in the last game. At least Kawhi now has Paul George, and that's why he was like, if I'm going to the Clippers, I need another All-Star. I can't just go in one man.
Bro, I 100% agree with you. I am putting holes in your statement.
Who are the All-Stars in the Warriors team?
Okay, you are diverting the conversation.
Bring it back.
Yes. You said that you need another All-Star. That's what you said.
Yes.
And I asked you, who's the other All-Star?
But I explained to you the situation as to how the Raptors are able to win. So here's Bunda, I know this is a very hypothetical situation, right? But if the Warriors had KD, had Klay,
and
had Steph, had Draymond, do you think that the Raptors are going to beat the Raptors? I mean, the Raptors are going to beat the Warriors.
I obviously do not think. Just Klay.
And that's why it's circumstantial. Yeah.
And understand what you are saying. What I'm saying to you is, if you think back to 2011, when did Dallas Mavericks? Dallas Mavericks, right? They obviously had the main man, which was
Dirk Nowitzki, yeah.
Right, Big and Dirk. Then they also had they had Jason Terry, Jason Kidd,
LeSean Marriott.
This is the point of this conversation. I do not think that it's about another All-Star. I think it's about having a unit, which is what Sugu said, like having a unit of people that are able to step up, you know? Stevenson stepped up, for goodness sakes, during the 2011 thing. And he was phenomenal. And JJ Barea, have you seen him play?
I was about to say, JJ Barea is
a little pit bull.
He sucks now. He sucks.
He's old now.
But no, I get it. Your Jason Kidd is like coaching, obviously.
And you're
but
I mean, him, so you know, JJ Barea is a tiny human.
Okay, tall man. By the way. As this is being recorded, I did beat GT in a basketball game. Anyway, let's carry on.
No, you didn't.
He's tall.
No, you didn't. Wow. No, you didn't.
So the point is, you had Bosch, you had Wade, you had the King James.
Yeah.
You know, and then you had a team of like. Marion and like Misfits and a bunch of people who are clamped together, but they were a unit. And that's why
I disagree
with the fact of two superstars. You don't need two superstars.
Traditionally, you need two All-Stars, I think. And then if you don't have an All-Star, or if you don't have two All-Stars, you need the only All-Star you have to perform at a superhuman level. I think you guys saw, even in the documentary in episode 2, Michael Jordan went up against one of the best Celtics team with Danny Ainge, Larry All-Stars. Bird. Four Hall of Famers even, Doug.
Four Hall of Famers, basically. Yeah.
And he scored 49 points in his first game. 63 points in the second game, and he still lost. He still lost. You know what I mean? Because his teammates just weren't like at that level where they could help take him to the next level.
He needed Scotty.
Coke circus.
So the Coke boy. So, it was the Coke boys in the building.
So the thing I'm trying to say is that, like, even against the Heat in those finals, I think Dirk Nowitzki went something like, he didn't miss like 150 free throws or something crazy like that, and he kept scoring it. Like, he was unbelievable for them to win the championship. And I think you need your superstar to perform at that level. So if you look at what the Raptors did to Giannis, for instance, they shut Giannis down. I mean, he and, you know, Kawhi were still going at it, but it was like when Giannis is out the game, the Bucks had no answers. Like, they had no way of beating the Raptors. Same thing with the Warriors, you know. When Klay was out, when KD was out, I mean, we know Draymond is dope defensively, but he's not the greatest of offense. So Steph had to carry everything. And once they clamped down Steph, it was game over there as well. So that's what I mean. This is like, you can have a decent
this
team.
This is where my argument lies.
You need an all-star. You need an all-star to take you to the next level.
Because, yeah. Because what happens with LeBron is that he makes his team better. What happens with Curry is that it makes his team better. He makes people play better, and you can't really do that as a power forward or whatever. But like LeBron somehow does it. So this is what I'm. My actual argument is that if you look at Nowinski, you've got a trusted J.J. Barrett, you've got trusted Jason Kidd, you've got Jason Terry, like these guys, you've got Marion, you've got Chandler, you've got all these homies that are like, actually, they do their role, they work. And then if you talk about the Raptors, these homies all knew what their part was, you know? And even
but
the
they
core,
had an all-star as well.
No, but the claw made the team better because he wasn't 100%. That guy doesn't think all star, doesn't think and I think that's the magic of having it or making a team better or powering through things is like you need a guy who is like, I'm about the team. And Michael Jordan was never about the team. Like, let's not lie. Michael Jordan was about Michael Jordan. But wait, hold on.
Yeah.
But Michael.
I'm so glad we're recording this. I'm so glad we're posting this tomorrow.
But Michael Jordan was a force to be reckoned with. You know, like.
Yeah.
And I think that was the difference. And then when Scottie came in, that everything changed, right? Because Scotty was about Michael and Scotty was about the team. That's the difference.
So, Sugu, do you want to say something or should I just
handle this?
Jump back in at the song. It's not a tech team, though.
No, I mean, I hear what Nfundo's saying, but I think Jordan. He's the kind of guy who, and this is what everyone says when you get down to comparisons, Jordan and Kobe are two players that are like, dude, no matter what, I'm going to win. Whether you guys are with me or not, I'm going to win. Like, that's why Kobe can score 81. That's why Jordan can score 63 and still lose. It's because they're the guys who are like, dude, like, I'm here to win. I don't care. Like, I don't give a fuck about your feelings. I don't give a fuck about how many points you score. Like, that's how they operate. So I think, like, I wouldn't say they're not team, but I think they're more like, they're just all about winning. Like for them, we're here to win. I mean, you saw in the documentary, even when they won that tournament in like Paris, he's like, what the fuck are you guys celebrating for? This is nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, we just won a random tournament in Paris. You guys are actually
You know what I mean? No. I'm here for the real thing. And like, even at the beginning of the season, they were like, dude, we're going for our sixth final. So I think you need guys like that. So like a guy like Michael Jordan, a guy like Kobe, they like inspire the team, I think. Like they basically are like, they're like a general. where they're basically getting all the troops and they're like, dude, they're fucking going, man. And obviously, but I think what makes those two special is the guy who coached them.
Yeah. So but I I think Mfundo is actually right. You know, I don't think he's wrong in saying that, you know, Jordan and, like you just made the point now, Kobe, they were about the team, but they were more about, I want to win and I'm going to make sure that we win. And I think different people lead teams in different ways. You know what I mean? I think Kobe leads from the front and he's like, you're either with me or against me. Whereas you get guys like LeBron and like Steph who like try to gather people together. I think even if you, like you made the point of using Steph as a reference, I think Steph has one of the craziest plus minuses in the league, because when Steph carries on the court, he makes everyone better already. Like, like that one game, his first game back where he gave, Andrew Wiggins a low pass behind the back and everyone was like, yeah, Steph's back. You know what I mean? Like, he makes the team definitely better. So I think you're right. I think there's both, you know, you guys have both good points about, like, you have guys who lead with mentality and people who lead emotionally, like, bring the team together and then carry them forward. For sure. Having said that, right, kind of need to wrap this whole conversation up. So we've spoken about what it takes to win the championship, how different teams are set up this year. I mean, we don't know if the NBA season is going to come back or, you know, if this is it. Who do you guys think was going to take it this year? Now Buddha's like, I want to go second. So I'm going to give you, because we need to wrap up and you have to be quick. So right. First of all, tell me who you think is going to make it to the finals and who's going to take it in how many games.
I had Lakers, Bucks, I think. And I had the Lakers taking it.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Same here.
Stephen A? Okay. How many games?
I thoroughly think Lakers were going to win this. And we've had many battles. I've got like a big family. And we all watch basketball. Mm-hmm. And I fought them many times. Yo, Clippers. Fought Sack. Lakers.
Hey, this is a family show, dog. That's how we're drinking booze and swearing the whole time. I'm gonna say though that I think I think it's tricky because I think definitely the two semifinals for the two finals for each conference would have been the Lakers and the Clippers, and I'm not sure who goes through there because I think everyone keeps saying the Clippers were brought for the playoffs. So my heart says the Lakers are going to go through and win the whole thing. But my head says the Clippers are going to get it together and win the championship. Because I think they just set up perfectly to win the championship. With like Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. And mind you, like they haven't actually had the chance to come together and bond as a team. Like the Lakers have. They've added better pieces around them. I mean, they just seem like a more solidified team, in my opinion. And they've got Doc Rivers, who's won championships before. And then on the other side, let me finish. Calm down, Kanye. And then on the other side, I think it would have been interesting between the Celtics, I say, and the Bucks, because I think the Celtics were going to surprise a lot of people, because I think Kemba was starting to get back into it. Gordon Hayward was coming back. And then Jason Tatum was starting he's going into like proper the next level of his career. And he was becoming scary. Yeah. So I think probably Giannis and the Bucks would have made it through. And I think it would have been an interesting final. I think if Giannis finds a way to master his, I'm going to say emotions for lack of a better word, like to not always get trapped in being trapped, then I think he can actually make his teammates better. But then his teammates also have to knock down shots, and Middleton has to come up and have his back for them to win the championship.
Most so forgettable. Also.
I think. Wow. So I think whoever would have come out of the West would have probably won the finals. And also, we're getting. I think also we'll talk about this another episode. But
one last point. One last point.
But that's another conversation.
James Harden on the fucking
table.
What the fuck?
I'm always about like the underdog, you know. Like I really appreciate watching sports for the underdog. Like that's my passion. And another thing that I found this out before coming to this episode because I was like, let me get some info. like Scottie Pippen, another person that we keep forgetting who has also got rings is Danny Green, right? Yeah. And as a fact,
he's got all of his rings with Kawhi.
Yeah. As a fact, this homie is the only one to win NCAA championship, along with Michael, James Worthy, is Danny Green. Wow. And what keeps happening is that, like Scottie Pippen, we keep undermining homies who are all about the team. And that guy he sacrifices for the team. He works hard for the team. From the Spurs to the Raptors to now, he's about to win another ring with Lakers. Yes, GT.
I'm going to coach you on that.
I'm there.
Stephen A.
So it's very funny because, I mean, like, life is unfair, bro. Like, there's guys who just happen to get the spotlight. There's guys who happen to enjoy the spotlight more than people who deserve it. And I think Danny Green has been such a solid player. Like I really enjoy watching that homie, bro. And I think that guy, he plays with heart and he gives his all. And all we care about is the claw. I was going to say Lowry, but then I don't care about him.
Pascal?
you know, and then you're talking about Van Vliet, you're talking about Siakam, you're talking about all these cats. But did you guys watch that homie? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Anyway,
he's the one who injured Clay Thompson when they were about to make a comeback. But it's all good.
That's a guy who got tested for steroids after like one dunk. Because he is that guy. And then like
he's that guy.
All of a sudden, because now you're seeing him do something, it's like, you know?
Yeah.
And the rebounds are important. Not in modern basketball, but rebounds are important. Defense is important, you know? Holding your man down and that guy on D, bro. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's all I needed to say, man. Scottie Pippen, Danny Green, all these homies, like, they get me connected. And screw you guys, man. Pay attention to the game.
This is the last time we're having a Pundo on the show. So I think...
This is a lot of alcohol anyways.
I think you've got a point, though. I think you're right, though. I think, like, I love how the series is going to change, you know, people's perception of Scottie Pippen, because I think he needs to be higher up in terms of where people see him and rank him than where he is now. So it's so
difficult. I think it's only people. I think it's just the people that didn't watch basketball. Because if you think about those 2 years when Jordan wasn't there, he held them down, bro. Like, that's when I saw
he held them down, dog.
He held them down, bro. Like, I mean, I think it's the casual fan that might not understand. But if you watch basketball, you definitely know about Scottie.
Ooh, so good money with the knowledge. Fuck guys, this has been so dope and so real. I mean we've never done anything like this before. So I was like a little nervous, like how's it gonna go? But this is actually quite a cool conversation. Suku's got this whole commentator look going on. Looks like he's about to announce like a Premier League game. Buddha looks like he's about to
build up my daughter.
Bruno looks like he's about to do like a Wale album, like a light skinned Wale, dropping COVID R&B jams.
He's like, sue me, I'm rooting for everybody that's light skinned. I see the Danny Green loves.
Actually, this one he's only been shouting out light skin homies. Yeah,
yeah, light skin
Green is a bit. Yeah. That time he's hating on Draymond. He's hating on Kyle Lowry. We see you, yeah. Bruno. We see you.
Okay.
Hating on Michael Jordan, even.
I got no defense for that, yeah. Nice skin niggas. What up?
Next thing he's going to be telling us that Kyle Kuzma is the next MVP. Anyway, guys.
He is.
If you said Jason Tatum, maybe.
Tatum actually. Way better.
Tatum could be the next MVP, yeah. Yo, but shout out, guys. Thank you for a dope show.
Yeah, no, cheers, man.
This was Salud. A great way to start Beyond the Court. A young cheers to the screen. So yeah, man, Funo, do you want to say any last words before you log out and say goodbye to everyone until you join us again?
Nah, I just want to say thanks, man. And it's great to speak about basketball, you know, like it's a weird thing in South Africa to speak about basketball with there's like I have seven homies, like I can count them on my hand. I speak basketball with. And it gets really heated, like especially when there's alcohol involved.
Yeah.
But it's all it's
great. You have seven homies? It's a lot.
They were all on my team. I was PG, so I passed them the ball and they were like, happy with me. I really sucked at basketball, but I beat GT. Anyway, so thank you guys. Thank you very much, man.
No, thank you. I know you're hella busy. You know, one of the top SA directors. So thank you for taking the time to come chat to us today. My partner in crime, Sugumani, the Kobe to my Shaquille O'Neal, the Scottie Pimpin to my Jordan. No, I'm joking, doc. Dope show is always. We need to stop drinking on these shows.
Cool coach.
Bruno, you just cool coach. Wow, just the fact that Sugu doesn't drink wine, dog. Like Sugu and red wine is like completely next level.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
So yeah, man, this is the new social distancing podcast that we're doing right now. So thank you for joining us and tune into the next episode. I'll let Sugu say the final words until we see you next time.
Yeah, no, peace, man. Thanks for joining us. One love, man. And we'll catch you guys on the flip side. Peace.
Peace. Ricardo Blog.